Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Stephanie L, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. My husband is here too. He's kind of sitting in the wings. We do a lot of meetings together, so you kind of see his face. He's right there. I was trying to get the camera just so. And I just want to thank Colleen for asking me to join you guys today. I really appreciate the break in the day. It's been a very busy day so far, and I'm just going to say the Serenity Prayer because I'm feeling a little, huh. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. And I want to make sure that I start my story and give credit where credit is due. My higher power, I choose to call God, and God is the hero of my story. There is no way that I could be sitting here with all of you today and not crazily obsessed with food or wanting to die because of what I have been doing to myself with food. There is no way that I could be sitting here in this state without something bigger and greater and stronger than me doing this for me. I've been in OA for about 17 years. I wish I could say that I've been abstaining for 17 years. That's not my story. My story is one of periods of recovery, periods of relapse. I'm currently 19 months out of a 2-year relapse where I gained 110 pounds, and life had gotten pretty awful. Now, is it okay for me to share pictures? Can I share? Do you guys share pictures on the screen? I can do it. I know how. I think I have the, oh, it's been disabled. Is it cool to be able to do that or no? I always find it's helpful to get the visuals when possible. But if not, that's totally cool too. So like I said, it hasn't been like I got here, got it and moved on. And I think the big deal for me is I never really understood the spirituality part of this program. I would hear people say, like, this is a spiritual program, or I would, being around this long, I could quote this big book. I could tell you that it says all over this book that, the answer is a spiritual answer, but I never really got it. It's such an example of, self-knowledge avails us nothing. All this knowledge about working the steps and, this big book and not ever truly getting that my problem is a lack of power. So I'm going to kind of like backtrack and just kind of start with, I relapsed. I had had over 3 years, and stopped doing the things that were keeping me connected to God. I wasn't doing 10 steps. I wasn't sponsoring as much. If a sponsee didn't call, I was like, oh, great. I have more time now to do X, Y, and Z. Or if the sponsee fell off, I wasn't actively looking for a new sponsee. And within 3 months of just kind of taking my will back, I picked up. I picked up. And it's an interesting thing because never did it occur to me, because I've gained and lost 100 pounds multiple times. Okay. In this program and outside of this program, right? But never did I think that eating a little bit of extra cheese that day, I had a resentment. I was pissed off. I was pissed off at my sponsor. By the end of the day, I was binging, and it wasn't sugar yet. That didn't happen till a couple days later. But it never occurred to me that this was going to turn into 2 years of torture in hell, because that's what it's like for me in this disease. I have to know who I am. And I was talking to someone about this today. I have to know who I am and I have to know who I am not, right? The doctor's opinion talks about being this distinct entity, meaning for me, it's not just sugar, right? And it's not just alcoholic foods, but for me, quantity is a problem too. I can compulsively overeat almost anything. And, you know, in the doctor's opinion, they talk about, like, I have to know that I have this allergy that I can't eat like other people, that I am never going to be able to control and enjoy my food. And as much as I wanted to over the years, that is, I have never been able to do that. And so it also talks about, you know, the difference between the moderate and the hard and the real deal alcoholic, or in my case, the real deal compulsive overeater, right? I can't sit down and eat, you know, like I have three daughters. They can take a couple bites of that dessert. Oh, it's too rich, or push it aside. Me, if I take one bite, I may not eat it all in front of them, because I'm also very, you know, like I'm not the kind of compulsive overeater that eats in front of people. I'll go buy the whole cake or two more boxes of whatever and then go hide by myself and eat it. And it just, it always gets worse and it never gets better, ever. So I don't know what it was that I forgot who I was. I forgot. I started to think that maybe, just maybe, I had recovered enough to handle this on my own. I don't know. I don't know. But I know it was a step one issue, because I have to believe in my heart of hearts that I am truly powerless over this disease and I can't fix it on my own. So that first compulsive bite turned into 2 years during COVID, isolated, right? I'm working from home. The extent of my activity was going from the bed to the area where I logged on my laptop on Zoom to go to work, and then going back and to that bed. And 100, you know, like for some of my age, like when I was 250 pounds in my early 20s or mid 20s, it didn't impact me the way it did, way it does today. I could barely walk down the street. I had all kinds of health issues. And I was basically at a point where I was like, you know what? I'm going to die. People who are morbidly obese, like I was, they're dying from COVID. So there was this part of me that was just like, this is it. You know, I have a heart condition that that I was diagnosed with during this 2 year time period that apparently I had my whole life and didn't know about. And so my heart rate will jump to like the high 180s out of nowhere. Stress makes it worse. And quite frankly, sugar. And so I was having like these heart issues. I was, just was a lot. There was just a lot going on during that time, and nothing, like fear was not a persuader, because there's no power in fear. Waking up in the morning and recalculating, what did I do to myself yesterday? How much did I eat? Oh my God, are any of my clothes going to fit? Do I have anything that I can put on? Oh my God, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. That didn't stop me, because within hours, I would start eating again. Fear is not a persuader. There is no power in fear. And so, you know, there I was, had given up, was kind of waiting to die. But here's the interesting thing. I had this thought. It was, I don't know if you guys know about the OA birthday party, but we have a birthday party every year to celebrate the anniversary of OA. And I have not missed that. And I saw something that the birthday party was on Zoom, and this little voice said, you know what, just log on. Just so I paid my $30 right there, logged on, and camera off, binging while I'm listening to people, like to speakers tell their story with crumbs all over my laptop, right? And I heard this woman, and I don't know what it was. It was the pitfalls that lead to relapse. And I heard the speaker, she said, you can have all the desire in the world, but lack the needed power. And I don't know, I probably heard someone say that, or it's all over the book, right? But there was something in that moment, and I kid you not, like the cookie fell out of my hand, and I just sat there and I heard her. Because through those 2 years, as I never leave OA, because I know there's no hope anywhere else. I would sponsor hop, I would meeting hop, food plan hop. There's all kinds of different factions of OA. I did OA How. I did all kinds of things. I was like a ping pong. There's a phone meeting, Vision for You. I would try and get a sponsor off of that line, go back to OA How, get someone here locally. I was like a ping pong ball because I was trying to figure it out and make it stop. And sponsors would tell me, you just don't want it bad enough. You haven't hit a bottom. And I'm like, what the, how could, what do I need to do to hit a bottom? I want to die. I'm thinking about my husband had to lock up the gun because on really bad nights after a binge, I'd be like, where's the gun? Where's the gun? I, you know, and man, do I have to make an amends to my husband for that behavior? But it was, I don't know, when I think about it, it was an awful existence, but desire. I had all the desire in the world and I didn't have the power. And so I wrote her number down and I called her, and that woman became my sponsor. And I haven't had a compulsive bite since start working with her 19 months ago. And so I always celebrate my birthday at the OA birthday party, because that's when it really, that's when something changed. And my sponsor always says, God puts out these search and rescue missions for compulsive overeaters, for addicts like us, right? And I can look back on it now, and that little voice that said, log on to the birthday, just do it. What are you doing? You're just eating anyways. That was my higher power search and rescue mission. Because here was the other thing, right? So I call her, we start working together. I don't believe it's going to work. I'm like, I have exhausted all of my recovery. I've worked the steps. I've done this. And she said, do you believe it's working for me? And how could I doubt it? Here is this woman beaming 38 plus years of being free from this disease. I could see it. I could hear it, and I wanted what she had, but I couldn't grasp how to get it. But she said, do you believe it's working for me? And I said, well, yeah, obviously. And she's like, all right, just hold on to that. And here's some things that I want you to do. And one of the first things that she asked me to do was to spend 30 minutes in the morning in prayer and meditation. And I got to say, I'm a busy person. I work. I'm a graduate student. I take care of my 5-year-old grandson. And my first thought was, what? What do you mean spend 30 minutes? Oh, and by the way, I was really pissed off at God, because I truly believed that God gave me this gift and took it away. I'm like, what kind of a God is that? I want nothing to do with that God. That God doesn't work. Just doesn't work. But I'm a good soldier, and I was willing to go to any lengths. So if she said to spend 30 minutes in the morning in prayer and meditation, you know, like a good soldier, I took out my phone that next morning and I timed it for 30 minutes and I sat down. And it was kind of like this. I don't know if you're there. I don't even want to talk to you. I don't want to look at you. I'm going to sit here and do this because I was told to do it. But I don't know. And I'm a very visual person. And so I had this visual where I was sitting on a park bench and God was on one side of the park bench and I was on the other side and I'm looking forward and I won't even look. I won't look. I'm like, and that's kind of what I did for those first, that first day.
That's 5 minutes. Know?
And thank you so much. And then I did also what I was told was to connect with other compulsive overeaters. And I made a phone call that day and I said, listen, what do you do in that 30 minutes? Because I'm pissed off. And I explained what had happened. And this woman said, well, why don't you just picture getting a little bit closer on that park bench? And then a little bit closer and a little bit closer. I'm like, I guess I'll try it. And the next morning I did that. And the funniest thing happened. And here's the thing I know about my God. My God isn't punishing. And my God is unconditionally loving and accepting. Because even though I showed up pissed off, I showed up. And by the end of that week, I kind of got to a place where I didn't blame this whole thing on God anymore. And I was doing a lot of other work. My sponsor would give me an assignment. We'd go through the assignment. And she said to me, because I said, how am I going to get through this day? And she said, you're going to pray. You're going to make this work the number one most important thing. Yes, you've got all this other stuff going on. But if you're really dying from this disease, then this working this program and connecting with power is going to be the number one most important thing in your life. I ended up dropping a class because I knew there was like no way I was going to be able to do all this. And you know what? She was right. So I did this hospitalization period and I got through the steps in I think 8 weeks. But at the end of that first week, I was starting to feel that power, you know, and there's this, where is it? And we agnostics really wanted to read this, really struck me. Because here's the thing, right? First of all, again, this is a spiritual program, which I never completely understood. I have a spiritual problem and the answer is a spiritual solution. And on page 55, it says, actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives, are facts as old as man himself. And then it says in the next paragraph, it says, sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. He was as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. And all this time that I thought that my higher power had left me, it was BS. I had walked away. I had gotten into self-will. I had taken control back, right? But all that time, that power was with me and waiting for me. And, you know, once I was able to see that, I was able to start really working on building that relationship again. Because here's the thing. I don't have power. I need power. The power comes from God. So if I am not investing in that relationship, and unblocking all of this, these character defects and the self-will and all of my like human stuff. If I'm not breaking down those walls, I'm not able to access. And so, and that's the miracle of it. You know, I started feeling that power within that first week and something amazing started to happen. The obsession was lifted. And I have not had the obsession to compulsively overeat, you know, in these last 19 months. And now the work is really, you know, continuing. I hear people say, you know, I live in 10, 11, and 12. I have to work 10, 11, and 12 like my life depends upon it, because I can't afford to rest on my laurels, because self is waiting for me, right? The ego and the pride and the I've got this and the need to control. You know, I have to do 10 steps when I am resentful or afraid. I still do my 30 minutes in the morning and pray throughout the day. And then I do a nightly review to like clean up my day. And most of all, I have to work with others. You know, like someone said, a sponsor's job is to put the sponsor's hand in God's, right? Through working these 12 steps. That is the work. And if you're struggling, keep coming back. Work this program, it works. So thank you for letting me share.